Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, yeah, well, presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bull. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bull. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
Somebody forgot to take their Zoloft. I'm assuming that's Joe Scarborough's problem. I could be wrong. I am not a doctor. I have watched 3 episodes of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, though, so maybe I'm correct. I don't know. All I know is I do a morning show, and if I were to curse with the regularity and the openness that Joe Scarborough did on his morning show, I would probably not have a job. These people are broken. Guys, they're broken. These people have lost their heads. They have lost their minds. But what are they losing it over this time? What is this whole bloodbath conversation? You've already seen the headlines. Donald Trump says if he doesn't win the election, it'll be a bloodbath in the United States. NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, they all went with that headline. I will admit that I did find an ABC piece that kind of said it accurately. Donald Trump, talking about the automotive industry, said there will be a bloodbath in this country if he doesn't win. What in the world is he talking about? What is the distinction here? Oh, let me break it down for you. Tony Katz Today, what's going on? 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. Here's what's going on. Trump does a rally in Dayton, Ohio, and he's in Ohio talking about the automotive industry, which makes perfect sense. They make some cars in Ohio. Smart thing to be talking about. This is the context in which Donald Trump, former president of the United States, brings up the idea of bloodbath.
They want to do this all electric nonsense where the cars don't go far, they cost too much, and they're all made in China. And the head of the United Auto Workers never probably shook hands with a Republican before. They're destroying. You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
The term bloodbath gets used a lot. It's one of those kinds of terms. And if you're like, no, it doesn't, I'll say to you, yeah, it does. It gets used in economic conversations regarding Wall Street. It gets used in a sports connotation. The fact that you may not off the top of your head know when you've heard it doesn't change the fact that it is not something that is a call to violence. It's not. It is a turn of phrase. Rational turn of phrase. And so Trump said this. The headline said Trump says if he doesn't win, there will be a bloodbath. Those are two different things. And that is the old adage is, you're walking down the street, you see an old woman crossing the street, you see a car racing towards the old woman. So you run into the street and you grab the old woman and push her out of the way so she isn't hit by the car. The New York Times runs a headline the next day, man pushes woman in street. Is that telling the story? The answer is, of course, it's not telling the story. It's doing anything but tell the story. Telling the story is not the objective here. Pushing the narrative is. And so this is what the people at all of these other so-called news outlets went with. This is what they ran with. This is what they pushed on America. Now, you already know something. Some people who are new to the show, they're just getting into these things. It's okay. We've all been there and to certain degrees and certain variations. Learning is learning. It's not where you start, it's where you end. You can't trust any of these people. And they have proven themselves wholly untrustworthy. I mean, if you go back, it's not that I want to play MSNBC for you. I'm actually working on playing less of this. But my God, this piece from Joe Scarborough on MSNBC is just, how angry is this guy?
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows.
Everybody's an idiot who disagrees with him? Everybody's an idiot? That is an angry, angry, hateful guy. Anna Navarro, angry, angry, hateful woman.
When Trump talks about poisoning the blood of America, and he's talking about migrants, when he refers to them as animals, and he's talking about migrants, when he's referring to them as not people, as invaders, let me tell you, people who hate folks like that, they're not going to stop and ask you if you have a U.S. citizenship or a U.S. passport. They're going to shoot first and then ask questions.
You want to talk about hate? What about all of the people on your side of the aisle, Anna Navarro, because you're not a Republican, who have been saying that Trump is a threat to democracy? Trump's going to ruin democracy. Trump's going to destroy democracy. Trump's a threat to democracy. You don't think that's a call for a lone wolf? And so we're clear, anybody who crosses the border illegally, rapes a girl and kills her, is an animal. They're an animal. I said it, I meant it, I'm not apologizing for it, Anna Navarro. What the hell is wrong with you? You think we're talking about people who are looking for a better life? The people who pick the lettuce? That would be a leftist conversation right there. The gangbangers, the murderers, the people who bring fentanyl? I don't care if you call them animals. I care that we stop it from happening. That's the difference between you and me. But all these people who talk about threat, Trump being a threat to democracy, Trump being a threat to the future, Trump being a danger. If Trump gets elected, how much violence are we going to see? We saw in the Trump administration them attack the White House. You want to talk about January 6th? I got a bunch of things I can talk about. We saw attacks on the White House with Joe Biden in the White House. How many pieces of instances of violence are going to take place if Trump gets reelected? Your side, I shouldn't say you, because I couldn't tell you the specific things Anna Navarro has said regarding Trump and democracy. I don't pay that much attention to Anna Navarro, if only because I love myself. Your side of the aisle. How many times will they say threat to democracy and us not realize that they're calling for the lone wolf? Someone needs to do something about this. You think I'm the first person to say that out loud? The concerns about this are everywhere. The concerns about this are all over the place. I may be the most honest, but I'm not the first. I don't know, maybe I am the first. There's no way I'm the first. There just isn't. These outlets gladly lie. And there's a reason why people are turning away from it. I'll get to that later. But dear Lord, this manipulation of what Trump said, this manipulation of the use of the word bloodbath, it should make you look at them and say, my God, there's nothing they won't say. There's nothing they won't do. There is no lie that they will not engage. They'll say anything. Anything. So when you see those headlines, Trump says if he doesn't win, it'll be a bloodbath. Don't ever trust one of their headlines, will you? I mean, or trust at your own risk. But I don't know how many more ways they have to tell you that they're lying to you. And they're proud to lie to you. And they lied to you yesterday. They lied to you today. And don't you worry, they'll lie to you tomorrow. I'm Tony Katz. File this under, let's forget the past, shall we? Why are you always focused on yesterday? Let's just look ahead. Why are you looking at everything I did in the past? Not just once, but numerous times, repeated times. Why are you looking that way? Let's look in a different direction. Isn't that right, Vice President Harris? That's what I thought. Tony Katz today. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Kamala Harris wants you to know that you shouldn't go to jail for having a little bit of weed.
So I will say that I believe that the promise of America includes equal justice under the law. And for too many, our criminal justice system has failed to live up to that core principle. And I say that with full knowledge of how this system has worked, including my experience as a prosecutor. And I challenge other states to follow his lead. Third, we have gathered today, however, to address specifically the injustices that we have seen in federal marijuana policy. I have said many times, I think we all at this table believe, nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed.
Nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed, says Kamala Harris, which is weird because as a prosecutor, she convicted more than 1,900 people for violations about weed. She laughed as single parents went to jail. It wasn't that her. That was her, wasn't it? And now she's there in the West Wing. She's sitting next to Fat Joe. He's a rapper. He's Fat Joe. Producer Kylan, crazy about Fat Joe. Is that not true, Producer Kylan? You love yourself some Fat Joe.
I wish I knew.
You don't know who Fat Joe is?
No, I don't.
Somebody lied on their resume, because that's a question that I ask. Do you know Fat Joe, and can you hum a few bars? I ask that of everybody. We'll have to go back and review your employment here. She's got Fat Joe and she's got the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, and discussing how nobody should go to jail for smoking weed. Now, don't get me wrong. America has to answer this question about how they want to go about it. Personally, I don't mind the legalization of marijuana because I don't like the idea that we have prisons crowded with people for offenses that I think we can do better than throwing them in jail for. My big problem is that I don't think jail works. I think jail has a purpose. Prison, if you will, has a purpose. But we don't do it right. We look at prison as the place for punishment. I get that rationally. You've done something wrong, you're punished for doing the thing wrong. We don't engage prison as enough of the place to return people to society. If we are not focused on taking a prison population and teaching skills by which when they are out of prison, because they served their time to society, and now they're back, and they can therefore get a job and be productive, It seems that we are playing in a game of counterintuitiveness if we are not proactive in getting people back on track. And we should be proactive about getting people back on track. How is that not the conservative position? The conservative position is throw him in a cell, throw away the key. Lock him up, throw away the key. Hope the food's garbage. Here's an hour of yard time. Maybe you'll see the sun. I'm sorry, that sounds like a revenge position, not a conservative position. The progressive position is no one should be in jail at all. I don't have that position either. But when it comes to marijuana, we should ask ourselves what it is we want. But if marijuana is fine, but smoking a cigarette can get you fined, we're doing something wrong here. I'm not a cigarette smoker. I'm a cigar smoker because, after all, I am an aristocrat. Love that joke. When I decide I want to be fired, I will do that joke on the air, and I will do it in full, ladies and gentlemen. I will do it beginning to end until they quite literally pull the plug from the stations that if I decide I'm going out, blaze of glory is how I'm going. But that is not today. But if you ever catch me on the side, I'll do the joke for you. you might be surprised how I tell it. I'm a cigar smoker. I don't want to be told that I'm not allowed to have a cigar where it is that I am. But we criminalize the cigarette smoker and we want to say, yeah, smoke weed walking down the street, it's okay. I don't know if we should say that. If you want to argue, flip-flopper Kamala Harris, that you don't want to criminalize people for smoking weed, okay. But does that mean we should have people smoking weed walking down, pick your downtown? Downtown Tulsa, downtown St. Louis, downtown Indianapolis, do we want it? Because if you've been to New York, you've been to Chicago, you smell the weed everywhere and you're like, I don't want this. I don't actually have an issue with the legalization, call it the libertarian in me, but I don't want it smoked down the street. Well, I don't want cigarettes or cigars smoked down the street. Are we going to now discuss the difference? Because there's a difference, and I would never let you tell me I can't have a cigar walking down the street. There's nothing greater than when I do visit New York, which has been a good long time because, man, has it fallen apart. And like, I will sometimes sit on a sidewalk, not on the actual sidewalk, like on a planter or something, or sometimes they have these seating areas because they're trying to reduce traffic flow, which is pretty gross. But they've got the seating area. I'm sitting, and I'm having a cigar. I love it because what I notice is I never get a bad look. Sometimes people ask me if I have another one. I never once have gotten a bad look. I've never once gotten, oh, how dare you? None of that. I can walk around outside Central Park. A little wave. Every now and then, and again, it's, oh, I love that smell. And it's usually women. It is. It's usually women. But smoking a cigar, a little different than smoking marijuana. So now we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to handle this? States have already been legalizing. How are we going to handle this on the federal side? I'm not saying that we shouldn't discuss it. I am saying that I think Kamala Harris has had more conversations about marijuana and legalization than she has about the border and border safety. I think we should notice this. We should notice where her priorities are. We should notice where her public displays are. We should notice where she has failed and failed miserably and epically. And we should get into the idea that she's the issue. You understand that Kamala Harris is a huge issue for the Democratic Party. I will get more into this. The Washington Post keeps putting out opinion pieces that Kamala Harris should drop from the ticket. Why? Well, she's a drain on Biden? No, Biden's his own drain on Biden. It's that if Biden's not the nominee, they can't step over her because she's a woman of color. But if she drops, then they can put in anybody. Is that nuts? So, this whole weed thing, all performance. Nothing more, nothing less, and Unserious. I'm Tony Katz.
God made the universe, knows me by my name, so it's a good day.
Dow is up 156, the NASDAQ is up 177, and positive thoughts on home building. This report, CNBC, U.S. home builders feeling more confident about their business than they have since last summer. They see better demand despite stubbornly high mortgage rates. Is that what they are? Stubbornly high mortgage rate? Get used to it. And we're not done. You got to believe that, you can believe what you want, but to believe that somehow rates are going to come down in any big way, man, it's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith. But February of 2024, a 30-year fix was 7.25%, and now 6.87%. That is almost half a point. That is enough to move people. That's enough to get people to say, you know what? Now's the time. Now's the time. And why not? Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. You need a house, you need a house. The rental market's ridiculous. Rents are outrageous. And so if you're trying to buy a house, it's very hard to do at 7%. But you might feel that 6.8, all right, it's better than it has been. You go back to December, it was 7.78%. You go back to just a month ago, 7.25. I get how people are feeling good about it, and home builders are saying, all right, This is not bad. This is not bad at all. But as we have been discussing, more than anybody else, the Federal Reserve may not cut interest rates. Inflation is up. Cutting interest rates means more spending. That's the thing they want to put an end to. They want to slow that down. I don't see interest rates going down anytime soon at all. But we should be discussing anniversaries. Because 4 years ago, at this time, we were dealing with a new phenomenon. We were dealing with 15 years. Not 15 years. That's what it feels like. 15 days to slow the spread. This was the press conference. It was Fauci. It was Trump. It was the whole gang. 15 days to slow the spread. You were there. And you said, oh, is this a thing? Is this really a thing? We're doing this? Good Lord. So we're going to lock ourselves down, are we? This is the plan, is it? Put ourselves in a place where we say, yep, you don't get to leave the house. We did this to ourselves, and that was 4 years ago. I think there's much to be asked about what it is that we learned. What is it that we take from that moment till now? Because it was a seminal moment. The idea that the federal government said, well, if we feel it's necessary, we'll decide where you move and where you go and how you do it. Well, Tony, it was a virus and it was unprecedented. Sure. Okay. You want to argue that, then you go right ahead. I think what we need to argue is what it is we said, what it is that we learned from this very moment.
The small print here, it's really small print. In states with evidence of community transmission, bars, restaurants, food courts, gyms, and other indoor and outdoor venues where groups of people congregate should be closed.
It was said with a smile. And Trump was there, smiling. Sorry, he just was. That's the way it happened. And we let this go forward, and we said, okay, 15 days to slow the spread of COVID. What have we learned? What we have learned is that there will be other viruses, and there will be other bad moments, and there will be moments that test us as a society. These are the times to try men's souls. There will be moments. I think that for many of us, and to the extent which I'll put myself in that category, I don't want to somehow act like somebody above it all, so allow me to put myself in that category. Let us put us all in that category. There could have been a moment of, wait a second, how are we supposed to handle? If you tell me that you want to slow things down to not overwhelm hospitals, I can appreciate what you're saying. But I never was able to appreciate the idea that someone can't be in business or we're going to decide what's essential and what's not. My great fear of COVID is that nobody learned anything. I think a lot of people are like that. I think there are people who would be more than happy, and you know that this is true because you know these people. If the government said we had to lock down for 2 weeks, they would gladly do it. They'd be overjoyed to do it. They would think it's good. It is, to many of us, amazing to have seen the number of people so desperate to be locked down, so desperate to be shut down, so desperate to do what they are told. And still, after everything, after clearly understanding that this was a virus that wasn't going to kill everybody, after learning that there may have been issues with the vaccine, and we learn about it and people prevented us from talking about it, after learning that staying 6 feet away was total nonsense, after seeing the amount of people who weren't able to say goodbye to loved ones because, well, we can't let you in the nursing home, after witnessing lie after lie after deceit after failure from the CDC, after the absolute destruction of kids' education at the hands of Randy Weingarten and other teachers' unions, they'd do it again. After all of it, they would do it again. And I think we need to be people who take a look at March 16th and just take a look at the idea of, look what we allowed to happen and look how we got treated. One could have argued, you know what? We as a society, as American citizens, decided to take care of ourselves, and this was the great sacrifice we made for the betterment of our own future. And I think that there are some people, if we're honest, I think there are some people who saw it that way. And I will tell you that I think I'm one of those people. If you tell me we're going to take 2 weeks and everything's just going to calm down for a second, and so we're not going to have this spread, we're not going to... Did I really have reason? Well, I always had little faith in government. Did I really have reason to doubt the CDC? I don't look at it through the lens of now. Look at it through the lens of then. You didn't know much about Fauci. You didn't know his history about AIDS. You didn't know and the research. You didn't know. You would have said, okay, here's what we need to do as a society. Let's go do this. We'll get it done. We'll move on. And I would have accepted that from everybody. I would have understood that. But once 2 weeks becomes 3 weeks, the next thing you know, you're telling me what's essential, what's not. And the next thing you know, you're telling me, well, these people got to get paid and these people got to get paid. But sorry, you own a bar, so you're not allowed to run your business and we don't care what happens to you. Whoa. There's one thing to say that you would sacrifice for your nation. There's another thing to have your nation say you have to sacrifice for our dreams, for our fever dreams. And I think that's one of the things we have to look at when this comes up again. Because we all agree that this is going to come up again, right? So let's start with a couple of things. No virus can shut down society. I discussed from the beginning that you cannot stop society to save society. You cannot shut down society to save society. I am on the record. I'm on the social medias. I said it. And you know what the response I got? Right, so I'm in Indianapolis, and the pseudo-intellectual set, so-called reporter set of Indianapolis wrote back, Tony Katz is going to get people killed. The support of being open, the support of allowing people to make their choices. Tony Katz is going to get people killed. That's something. What an awful and disgusting thing to say. The fact that I was right. Shutting people down is what led to downfall. The country could have said, you know, we'll come together for 2 weeks. I'm not saying that that couldn't have happened. I am saying that after witnessing that, you're not going to find an America in the main that's willing to come together again because, in large measure, they feel lied to. Now, a little bit of this is strange because you were learning something new every day about COVID. You were learning something new all the time, and so the data could change and things could change, and therefore a perspective changed. But you never changed about the 6 feet of separation. You never changed about nursing homes. You never changed about how you've lied about formulating the numbers in an effort to scare Americans. So much of four years ago, the 15 days to slow the spread, has nothing to do with the American citizens. It has to do with how the American citizens were treated. We are the ones still willing to be patriotic Americans. But how dare these people in positions of leadership tell us how to do it? They're not patriots. Anthony Fauci isn't a patriot. He's the villain of this story. The CDC is the villain of this story. Because they knew they were making things up. They knew they were covering things up. We can't talk about a leak from China. COVID leaked from a lab in China. My name is Tony Katz, and I don't care if you print it. K-A-T-Z, spell it right. And please, use a picture where I look thin. That's my take. Doesn't make me a warmonger. Doesn't mean I should be blocked on social media. The Wuhan laboratory was working with bats engaged in this exact study. They're communists. These people don't know how to do anything. Of course it leaked from a lab. It came from a wet market in Wuhan, which happened to be next door to the lab that works on these COVID viruses, SARS-CoV-2. Shocking, ladies and gentlemen. Shocking, I tell you. They lied to us, and they kept it going. And they refused to allow us to discuss what was happening, and they kept it going. We, in large measure, thought we were doing something in many places and in many spaces patriotic. We were going to help our country get through. And you know what they said? Screw them. I remember the month of April. I would get off the air Right? I have two shows a day. I'd get off the air and I'd say, what the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this job? This is insane. Month of April, month of May. I was a mess. We weren't going to be a country that focused on getting through this. We were going to tear each other apart politically because of it. Dear Lord, do not make me cover this. You think I want to talk about this every day? This is insane. Insane. But that's what they did. Used it politically and tried to tear people apart and attack people personally for being honest and clear. 4 years ago. I don't think we should forget that. And I don't think we should forget how they changed how Americans are going to react the next time there's an issue. And there will be a next time. I'm Tony Katz.
Something you want to do, just do it. Don't let your head stop your heart from moving. If there's someone you
want. My Republican friends tell me we spend a lot of money. It's saving billions of dollars. Saving billions of dollars. We're actually cutting the deficit, too.
Did you just say you're cutting the deficit? Did you just say spending is saving us money? Good Lord. Goodness gracious. Cutting the deficit. So you're still running deficits. And what are you doing about the debt? Nothing? Well, now we've got ourselves a problem. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Catch the word manipulation there from President Biden. We're cutting deficits, but you're still running a deficit, which means you're spending more than you're bringing in, so therefore you have to borrow to cover that shortfall. And that deficit spending adds to debt, the total amount of money you owe, which is in the tens of trillions of dollars, which you are not cutting at all. So you're bragging about overspending less. Who brags about this? That's like somebody saying, gonorrhea? No, I only have chlamydia. Who would... You think I'd have gonorrhea? That's the argument. That is certifiable nuttiness. Holy cow. So proud of himself. Stand behind the microphone, presidential seal, and make that statement and be like, aren't I great? November can't come soon enough. Keep it here. This is Tony Katz today.